Hello, I'm Stu Sensei, and welcome to the Stu Sensei English Podcast, the place that helps you unlock your English ability. Let's crack on with the show. Hello, welcome to Stu Sensei's English Podcast with Stu Sensei. Today, I welcome a new guest for you. We are talking to Alison from English in Technicolor on Instagram, another great English teacher that I want to introduce to you. We're going to talk about her background and how she became an English teacher. And we're also going to talk about why reading is important for learners of languages. Let's go. So thank you so much for joining today. Really appreciate you being here. So I'd love to know your background about and why you decided to become a teacher.
First of all, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so happy to be here. My name's Alison. And on social media, I am English in Technicolor. I got into teaching maybe like 10 years ago. I just wanted to be able to travel, live in different places, and I don't know, share knowledge, meet people. I've always really loved languages myself, and so I thought that teaching languages would make sense for me.
What made you choose your Instagram handle? Because it's very unique.
It used to be English with Alison, but then there was like another website with that name. So I was like, okay, I better change it. But then I don't know. I think that a lot of English materials at that time, or the English materials that I was seeing in some textbooks, they were all sort of like black and white, a little bit boring. And I thought, well, what about if I start making lots of like very, very colorful infographs and videos and things like that? And I was thinking about the transition from black and white TV into colour or into Technicolor. And so I decided to call it English in Technicolor.
Okay, that's great. Nice background to it for sure. Okay, wicked. So what made you start doing social media? Because teachers don't necessarily need to do it, you know. So
I think that I started doing Instagram first, and I was actually sort of, I was just at home. I wasn't really doing anything. It was actually someone very close to me that had passed away, who was also an English teacher. And this person always said, like, you know, what's the point in learning something if you can't share it with everybody? And I was really thinking about that. And I wasn't really working so much at the time. And I just thought, well, wouldn't it be really nice if instead of just teaching the people that were here in Mexico City, that I could sort of teach other people around the world, and that, you know, our geographic location wasn't like limiting to us, and that we could just, I don't know, kind of teach people around the world at the same time and also kind of connect with other teachers. And I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Have you always worked for yourself, or have you always worked for other people?
I think most of my career, probably just before the pandemic, I had worked in schools. I worked at the National University here in Mexico, and I had worked for some private English academies or schools here in the city. I'd worked at a rural university as well, sort of as a language ambassador for the British Council. And so I'd had all of these different kinds of experiences. And I think after a while, I sort of knew how to do a lot of things and just wanted a bit more freedom and a bit more creative control. I'm sure you can understand as well.
Yeah, 100%. Of course, yeah. That's interesting. Many different locations where you've applied your trade. The museum, what did you do at the museum?
Not the museum. What did I say? I can't remember now. The National University.
University, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. At the National University, I was just working for the British Council. I was an English language assistant. So we weren't exactly teaching English. We were allowed to. But we just had to go in and sort of give presentations about British culture, And organized little speaking activities and things like that. So that was before I actually started being the teacher. So I was actually a teacher's assistant before I actually started teaching myself. And then after that, I went and certified as a teacher and did it myself.
And do you have any advice for people who want to become teachers?
I don't know. I mean, I think that if you are a very social person, if you like sharing lots of things, knowledge, experiences, and I don't know, you want to make a difference in somebody's life, I think that it's a really rewarding career. And yeah, you should just do it. Yeah.
Okay. So many students want to improve their reading. Are you a fan of reading?
I think it really depends. I do love reading, but I think it's just about finding time. And I think that that's also what a lot of students struggle with. It's like, reading is quite a time-consuming sort of hobby, even if it's in your own language, in your first language. But yeah, I do like reading, just when I have a lot of time.
Okay, do you have any books that you recommend to anyone to use or to read?
Yeah, I was thinking about this before. I think reading is something that's actually really personal. So I could recommend books, but if you're not interested in the same things as I am, that could be totally useless information, right? So I think that I would personally recommend, for someone who wants to start reading in English that has never done it before, don't go and pick like a big, huge novel, because I've tried that in other languages and it just never works. I always read the first chapter over and over again, and I never advance. I would always say, maybe start with something like a collection of short stories. And then you can, you know, after some stories are like 3 pages, right? So after those 3 pages, you can feel that sense of accomplishment and it feels good. You've read your first story, no? And what you could do is read one short story every night, or something like that. Or you could start reading essays, collections of essays, something shorter, like easier to digest. And then, yeah, I also think reading poems is a really good one. Poems are even shorter, but perhaps more challenging in terms of language because they're using more metaphorical language, it's more abstract, but could be really good if you have less time. No, you could just read a little poem, a sonnet or something on your way to work on the subway or something like that.
Do you think reading is important? Can that assist you with improving vocabulary or understanding a sentence structure, things like this?
Yeah, 100%. Not only reading, but reading aloud. Kind of also what we were talking about with intonation as well. I think reading is amazing because you have complete control. You can decide what to read. You can decide what you focus your attention on. And it's just this incredibly like slow process, if you want it to be, where you can just have time for yourself and just focus on that. And I think, yeah, in terms of vocabulary, I mean, it really depends what you're reading. But I have always found it to be like very, very useful. We don't necessarily need to understand every single word, but I think that it's just, you can go at your own pace. I think that's what I want to say.
Okay, nice. Should students learn, try to learn every word they meet in a book? Do you think that that's important? Because a lot of students say they can't get through the first page because they're always looking at a dictionary. So what do you think?
There are so many different strategies. I mean, some people prefer to go through and underline everything. I am not one of those people. I will just try and figure out the meaning of certain words through context. If it's a particular word that's only used once in the whole chapter, let's say, I'm just going to forget about it. I'm not going to focus on it. I'm not even going to try and understand it. I'm just going to keep going. I was recently reading something in Spanish and there was this word that kept coming up over and over and over again. It was like 10 times on the same page. So I was like, okay, this is a word I obviously need to know because now I'm not really understanding what's going on. So I would really sort of say, first of all, try and work it out by yourself. Might be right, might be wrong, but why not check the meaning after you've finished the chapter? and work it out by context. And then second of all, depends on word frequency. How often is this word coming up?
Frequency. Yeah.
No?
Yeah, no, I completely agree, because that's exactly my thought process behind it. Sometimes one word isn't necessarily important, but like you said, if it comes up multiple times, it's obviously key, potentially, yeah, to the story itself.
Or if you've heard it somewhere else as well.
Yeah, definitely. In somewhere in the book as well. Do you think that, what do you think about the percentage you should understand in a book?
Don't know. I think that's also like a, perhaps like a personal choice. Like, how much of a story do you want to read without understanding it? No. I think that, yeah, probably, I mean, more than 50%, you're winning, I think, as long as you've got the general idea. But of course, the more you understand, like, the richer that piece of literature becomes for you. No. So you can understand perhaps like the skeleton of the story, the outline of the story. You know the characters, what they're doing, how they're feeling. And then maybe like the 100% would be, oh, I really like the choice of word that the author used. Why did they use sobbing instead of crying or something like that, you know? But that's more, I think, if you are really into literature or you are like a literature student and you want to know those tiny differences in language and the impact that they might have on you as a reader. So I guess it depends what kind of reader you are, what kind of person you are. I like to understand everything, but I would still say I'm like a 90%. There's like a 10% that I just don't care about. As long as I've got like most of it, I'm fine. But yeah, what would you say that you are?
At the minute, I think that thing that you were mentioning a minute ago about you just have to go past certain things, it's a skill you have to learn. So my mind is telling me I have to know everything. And I'm trying to fight myself against that, because you don't need to know everything. You really don't need to know everything. And you can guess it from context after. Like, sometimes you need the next sentence to understand the previous one, even when you know all the words.
Yeah.
It gives you a bit more idea. So, yeah, it's that's really a skill. You're telling yourself to do something that you were taught not to do as a child.
Yeah.
You know, so you really have to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
So right in a minute, I'm kind of in the middle in this awkward phase, but yeah, it's definitely a good, good point. So I'd say for me, it's probably like a high percentage at the minute. I want success more than understanding every detail. So having a book that, but then you can have too high a percentage and then you don't learn anything, you know, it's whilst you're practicing still, but
yeah.
It doesn't necessarily push you forward. So
yeah.
It's a difficult one. Really, really tricky. Yeah.
I think also just like, if you think about, if we were to read, for example, Jane Austen. No, if we were to read Pride and Prejudice, there are so many words in that that we're not necessarily going to know, even as native speakers, because that language is a little bit more antiquated and old fashioned. 100%. And so there are still words and phrases that we won't necessarily know, but even because it's our first language, we can stop and we can go and look it up, but probably we're just going to keep going. And I think that if you think, or students who are language learners that are listening, if you can think of a text or some sort of like iconic piece of literature in your language, would you understand everything? Are you going to go to a dictionary? Are you going to look those words up? Not necessarily. No. But would that deter you?
Definitely. Like Game of Thrones, I read Game of Thrones, the first two books, and it's just like such nonsense. Some of the words. Look at me, I'm like, what's going on? It's set there to give a book. Obviously, you're just reading the words, and there's often no pictures in those bigger novels. So, the aim of a book is to give you a good detailed picture in your head. So, it's going to be using a lot of terminology that is relative to the era. Relative to the, like, giving you that specific feeling, sometimes the feeling and sometimes the to be in the moment, if you want. So it's interesting. And one last question, do you think that people have to use every word they find in a book
when they use it like in a conversation or something like that? No, not at all. And actually that can be really dangerous. Reading it in a book or watching it in a TV series, we always, whenever we're learning new vocabulary, we need to ask ourselves a number of questions. Is this formal or informal? What context can I use it in? Is it used more by women, men? Is it used for women or men? Is it used by younger people, older people? And all of those things are really, really important because I know that a lot of people, for example, who study a lot of famous novels and things in the English language, they try and incorporate those phrases or pieces of vocabulary into their speech. And it just sounds very strange because this vocabulary could be from a totally different time period. It could be perhaps only appropriate in a novel or in more formal writing. And so then incorporating it into speech, it just sounds or it feels like a piece of clothing that just doesn't fit quite right. It just sounds a little bit off. Can we still understand you? Probably. But being understood is obviously like the key goal. But then after that, you need to also be thinking, is this how I want to sound? Do I want to sound overly formal? Or do I want to sound like, I don't know, some like rich lady from the 1800s or something, right? So I guess, first of all, it depends what you're reading or listening to, if you're watching TV and stuff. And then think about if that's really in line with your personality. No?
That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find Alison at English in Technicolor on Instagram. Make sure you go check her out. She's got some beautiful posts and some great material to help you with your English. And hopefully, I'll see you again next time. Ciao.